Chapter 3. Room 142. Hospital Britannico. Avenida Italia. 2420. Montevideo, Uruguay. 1650 hours. 24 September 2005. The very tall, well-dressed, somewhat ascetic-looking man entered the room without knocking and found himself facing a nice-looking teenage boy in a gray suit who was holding a .45 ACP pistol aimed at his crotch. Beside the boy was the largest dog the man had ever seen, showing an impressive array of teeth and growling deeply. The man quickly put up his hands.
"You must be Corporal Bradley," the man said.
"Who the hell are you?"
Castillo demanded.
"My name is Frank LaMille, Colonel. I'm the DDCI. Ambassador Montvale suggested I come to see you."
"You have any identification, sir?"
Bradley demanded.
"It's okay, Lester," Castillo said. "I don't think he's making that up."
"May I put my hands down?"
Castillo nodded.
"And would you give the Colonel and me a few minutes alone, please, Corporal?"
"Go and get a Coke or something, Lester," Castillo ordered. When the door had closed after Bradley, LaMille said,
"That looks very uncomfortable, Colonel."
"Until 10 o'clock this morning, they had me literally twisting in the wind. That was worse."
"And now?"
"Now I have to lie on my side." They looked at each other curiously. "How did you know who Bradley was?"
"Edgar Delchamp described him to me as a choir boy with a .45 who is seldom far from your side."
Castillo smiled, but didn't say anything.
"Delchamp came to see me and the DCI immediately after he came from St. Albans Hospital," LaMille said.
Castillo said nothing.
"You didn't know he planned to do that?"
"No. But now that I think about it, I'm not surprised."
"He told us an incredible, unsupportable, unbelievable tale about several members of the CIA having, so to speak, sold out."
"Well, you don't have to believe Delchamp if you don't want to, Mr. LaMille," Castillo said, coldly and softly. "But I'm going to tell the President about those two bastards just as soon as I can get to Washington. I suspect he'll believe me." His voice changed tenor.
"Jesus Christ! Did Montvale send you down here to talk me into going along with a whitewash of those two traitorous sons of bitches?"
"My mother always taught me it was bad form to speak ill of the dead," LaMille said.
"Excuse me?"
"We are both referring to Mr. Milton Weiss and Mr. Jonathan Crawford, are we not, Colonel?"
"I think of them as miserable CIA son-of-a-bitch one and miserable CIA son-of-a-bitch two."
"I'm afraid that I'm the bearer of bad news, Colonel. Mr. Crawford and Mr. Weiss are no longer with us."
"What did they do? Catch a plane to the former Soviet Union?"
"They are deceased," LaMille said. "Mr. Crawford was found 3 days ago in his apartment in Asuncion. He had apparently been strangled to death during a robbery. With a garrote, actually. A blue steel garrote."
"And Weiss?"
"Mr. Weiss was found in his car in the parking lot at Langley yesterday morning. He died of a drug overdose. The needle was still in his arm. No, actually it was in his neck when his body was discovered."
"How interesting."
"Well, naturally, since Mr. Delchamp had raised these awful allegations against Mr. Weiss, our investigators had some questions for him."
"And?"
"Apparently, Mr. Delchamp had been involved in a marathon poker game at the house he shares with you in Alexandria during the time the coroner tells us Mr. Weiss got his fatal injection, with some other CIA veterans, now mostly retired. They have a small, informal organization. They call themselves the Dinosaurs."
"So I've heard."
"Well, the CIA certainly is willing to take the word of such a group regarding who was where and when."
"That's probably a good idea."
"Some of those Cold War warriors, the dinosaurs, tell fascinating stories. They can't be believed, of course, about what happened to traders in their day.
Such as?
I really don't like to get into this sort of thing. So let me just say it's rumored they acted as judge, jury, and executioner when they were sure one of their number had sold out. Just a legend, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, aside from saying that I don't think you could get arrested in Chicago for anything, Sergeant Mulroney has told both the mayor and the president of your courageous dash through fierce small arms fire carrying Special Agent Timmons on your back. Oh, Jesus. That's about all I have. I have to get to Buenos Aires.
Why?
Well, I probably shouldn't tell you this as it's classified. Nevertheless, we've decided to beef up our operation in Asunción in light of what's happened there. Mr. Darby is going there to help Mr. and Mrs. Cieno get things straightened out. I want to see them before they go. He put out his hand. It's been a pleasure meeting you, Colonel, and I wish you a speedy recovery.